here to stand in solidarity with the Jewish people. This is not an effort in any way to convert the Jewish people. And as the Jewish executive director, I can tell you that it's simply something that does not come up at our events.
A Christian group in Israel, standing in solidarity with the state of Israel, not particularly interested in the conversion of the Jewish people. It's just not on their radar screen. They've got bigger fish to fry, the support of the state of Israel. We're going to hear a little bit more from David Brog. He's executive director of Christians United for Israel. This group and groups like it often confuse Christians, terribly confuse Christians, because they listen to some high-flown rhetoric about the national state of Israel, we should say the nation state of Israel, founded in 1948, and they're told that this is somehow a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. In fact, they go even farther than that. The groups that call for no proselytizing but support for the nation state of Israel will tell you that Israel's not just the modern nation state of Israel isn't just a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. It is the heart and essence of biblical prophecy. It can lead groups of Christians to do foolish things like say, I'm all for Israel, but let's not proselytize. Some believe they don't even need to. We're going to be talking about that, hearing a little bit more from David Brog, executive director of Christians United for Israel, here during the first hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's audio open lines here in the first hour. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little bit later during audio open lines, a sermon illustration gone terribly awry. A pastor who lost control of, wait for it, his dirt bike. During his sermon, he didn't injure anyone but himself. Luckily, in this church, the front row of pews, chairs, whatever they may have been, were vacant. But he took a tumble off of the stage on his dirt bike during his sermon. We'll hear from him, and we'll find out exactly what this was intended to illustrate. One of the dangers of sermon illustrations is when they kind of take on a life of their own, or in this case, choose a trajectory of their own, literally. A CNN segment on vice presidential candidates, who is McCain going to choose? There are rumors out of his campaign that he might even choose one soon. Those may be true, may not be, but I want to know from you, who do you think John McCain should choose as a running mate? And while we're at it, Barack Obama as well. And then an ABC News report on a church that's harboring illegal immigrants. This is revisiting an old issue with this Chicago church and others elsewhere, even churches in Iowa. Are finding themselves sanctuaries for illegal immigrants. We'll talk about it during audio open lines. 1-877-623-MYIE. That means you call, we talk about it. I lay a few issues on the table. 1-877-623-MYIE. We're coming to you live this Tuesday. It's the 22nd of July. Or email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. In the second hour of the program, we're going to spend some time talking with Dr. Jeff Gibbs. Mary Magdalene is remembered this day by the church. A lot of other people remember Mary Magdalene, but not as accurately as the church does. Some think she must have been Jesus' wife. Entire books, movies, and careers have been built on this misconception. We'll dispel it in the second hour of the program. And then after our conversation with Dr. Gibbs, Greg Kokel, good friend, regular guest, will join us to talk about the new atheist. How do you deal with the claims of the new atheist? They claim to have science and reason on their side. Do they? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. David Brog is executive director of Christians United for Israel. Here he is talking about their third annual conference held this week.
Our organization is dedicated to solidarity with the Jewish people, to expressing gratitude to the Jewish people for everything they've given to Christians, and for acting on a biblical mandate to support Israel.
Where is that biblical mandate to support Israel? You've heard Christians make the claim that we ought to be supporting Israel. Either Christians ought to support them or America as a fellow country ought to support Israel. Now, we're not talking here about good geopolitical reasons to support Israel as an ally. they may exist. There may be great reasons to support Israel as an ally in the Middle East. Those are geopolitical reasons. But David Brog is talking about a biblical mandate to support the nation state of Israel. Where is that? Now, I know where some Christians claim to find a biblical mandate that would require Christians. Did you know this? In addition to the Ten Commandments, that you are required to support the nation state of Israel in whatever way you can? Did you know that? You may not have known it, because if you read the Ten Commandments, you won't find a commandment saying you must support the nation state of Israel. In fact, you won't find any Bible passages making such a requirement of you. But some Christians read the scriptures with Israel at the center of the book rather than Jesus at the center of the book. Israel becomes the sum and substance of biblical prophecy. It becomes the fulfillment of all Old Testament covenants. And I'm talking about the 1948 nation state of Israel instead of Jesus. Now, if you're reading the Bible that way, you're going to find a lot of reasons in Scripture to require Christians to support the nation state of Israel. You would be reading the Bible wrong, but one can understand that if you make Israel, the nation state of Israel, the center of Scripture, the point of the book, and not Jesus, how you could come to some very strange conclusions. David Brog talks more about this biblical mandate to support the nation state of Israel.
Israel's not just a Jewish issue. Israel's very much an American issue and very much a Christian issue.
I'm a little confused. It's an American issue. Now, I can understand that. If the State Department wants to explain to me why it's important that the United States as a nation, America, supports an ally in the Middle East, I'm ready to listen. But he kind of confused, blurred two things there, didn't he? It's not just a Jewish issue, it's an American issue and a Christian issue. So we have Christians traveling to the Middle East, having conferences, supporting Middle East. John Hagee's one of them, by the way. Americans United for Israel. He says God has a special favored place for the nation state of Israel, and that because that's true, America's status with God depends on America's support for the nation state of Israel. He's founder of Christians United for Israel. You will recall that he was removed as a religious advisor to Senator John McCain's presidential campaign over some controversial statements that he made. He's also been quoted in the press accurately as saying that Jews have one way to heaven, and Christians have another. It's called a two-track theory of salvation. That Jews are saved by obedience to the old covenant, and Christians are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Which begins to explain why it is that groups like Americans United for Israel feel no need to proselytize Jews while they're supporting the nation state of Israel. Here's David Brog again. He says Hagee's past sermons have been misinterpreted.
Those of us who know him stand by him. All I can tell you is so many of the attacks in the media have been unfair. They've either misquoted him or taken his quotes completely out of context and have mischaracterized John Hagee.
Well, one thing is clear. He does teach that the nation state of Israel is the fulfillment of all Old Testament biblical prophecy. That Israel is the sum and substance of all biblical prophecy. He does teach that Israel holds a most favored nation status with God as a nation state. And he does teach that all other nations of the world are either blessed or cursed according to their relationship to the nation state of Israel. He teaches those things, doesn't he? Along with the two-track system of salvation, one for Christians, one for Jews, in direct contradiction to what Scripture, namely St. Paul, in the books of Romans, Galatians, and elsewhere, says. I want to hear from you. Our in-studio email address this Tuesday, the 22nd of July, we're talking a little bit about Christians United for Israel and their comments. Talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org, or give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. David Brog says that Christians United for Israel doesn't seek to convert Jews to Christianity.
We're a non-proselytizing organization. What our members and leaders do when they go home on their own time, they all have their own different approaches.
Okay, that's fair enough. As an organization, they don't seek to proselytize. By the way, if they tried to in Israel, they would find themselves probably running afoul of the law in the nation state of Israel. Did you realize that there is no real full-blown religious freedom in Israel today? You can be a Jew, you can be a Muslim, you can be a Christian. You can be anything you want to be. But proselytizing is a different story, especially Christian proselytizing in the nation state of Israel. Now, that's not just a human rights issue. That's an issue that Christians who believe that there's a biblical mandate to support Israel, right or wrong, should consider, and consider it seriously. And I'm not just talking about supporting them in their struggle against the Palestinians or their struggle against their enemies in the rest of the Middle East. I'm talking about the kind of support that Christians will call out saying, God expects you to support the nation state of Israel. You are blessed or cursed according to whether or not you support it. We'll talk more about this with more audio open lines after this break. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Mary Lou Frank, Broer Erickson, Abby Heidenreich, John T. Pless, Pastor Christopher M. Fincher, Pastor Joseph Fisher, Paul Zeigler, Dave and Mary Coleman, Josh Seferlin, and Pastor Jonathan C. Watt. Thanks for your support.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Movies, clothes, dating, cars, college.
Many choices, many options, many decisions.
But when it comes to an unplanned pregnancy, the choice is clear. Life.
Every day, more than 3,500 members of our generation are killed by legalized abortion on demand. Approximately 40% of all abortions each year are performed on teens and college-age women.
Make a difference. Choose life.
This has been a perspective on life from National Teens for Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., a pastor's roundtable. Pastor Will Whedon, regular guest. Pastor Michael Kumm, his voice will sound familiar to you. And Pastor Tim Rosso will be joining us. We're going to be talking about a whole raft of issues, I think having to do with the headship, the order of creation, things like that. Pastoral issues that are much in debate nowadays in the church. We'll be talking about it with our roundtable tomorrow on Issues Etc. It's audio open lines. You can join us, 1-877-623-MYIE. It's Tuesday, July the 22nd. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. I want to know what you think about Christian Zionists. That's the technical term for Christians who believe that the Bible teaches that they are required to support the 1948 nation-state of Israel, and that the special blessings from God are attached to their support thereof. I want to know what you think about Christian Zionists and the fact that Christians United for Israel isn't interested in converting Jews to Christianity, even if it were legal to do so in the nation state of Israel. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. We've done hours of shows on Christian Zionism, debunking their various misinterpretations of Scripture, and it is amazing that this particular reading of Scripture that places Israel at the center of the Bible rather than Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for sinners, at the center of the Bible, renders, in so many cases, a completely different reading of the Bible from that which the church has historically taught. It is a relatively new belief. In fact, not long before 1948, there was no such thing as Christian Zionism. But with the founding of the nation state of Israel, many Christians came to the conclusion God must be fulfilling all these old land prophecies made to the people, God's people of old in the Old Testament, and the people must return to the land. Some have speculated that there would be no modern nation state of Israel were it not for the influence of Christian Zionism in the halls of power. That's called self-fulfilling prophecy. David Brog is the executive director of Christians United for Israel. Here he is talking a little bit more about their non-proselytizing policy.
Our organization says whatever one's views of proselytizing Jews may be, Christians need to also, separate from those views, stand with the state of Israel and stand with the Jewish people.
Why? Now, he doesn't come out and say it, but behind this mandate to support the nation state of Israel stands a very interesting reading of the Bible. It is tied in a very complicated way with what's called premillennial dispensationalism. That's a long and complicated term for an end times view that says that Jesus dying on the cross and rising again was plan B. Plan A was Jesus comes, establishes the nation state of Israel as kind of the king of all nations, and begins a millennial kingdom. But you see, plan A failed because the people of Israel in Jesus' day rejected him as their king and killed him instead. And so God had to go to plan B, which was, okay, Jesus dies. Let's see what we're going to do. Oh, I'll raise him from the dead, and I'll make him the means of salvation for all the other nations. But Israel will stay on the old track of salvation where it's obedience to the Old Testament law. Two-track salvation. It literally turns Jesus' death and resurrection into plan B. Then there's this huge, they call it a parenthesis, this huge gap of time between Jesus' ascension into heaven and now, where nothing of any significance occurs. Until the nation state of Israel is established in 1948, and the prophetic stopwatch begins ticking again, and the countdown begins toward the end of time when Christ will return. And then, of course, just to kind of finish off the story, it involves Jesus coming back again two or three times, depending on how you want to read their passages. He comes back once, in which he raptures away all of the church, not taught in Scripture, by the way. Then he waits 7 years during a tribulation, comes back again, in which he finally gets around doing what he was supposed to do the first time, which was establish a millennial kingdom with Israel at its center. And then he reigns for 1,000 years from a rebuilt Jerusalem temple and oversees, I'm not joking, animal sacrifices from the Old Testament all over again. At the end of those 1,000 years, there's Judgment Day, and depending on which dispensationalist you're talking to, the Jews go to heaven because even though they didn't believe in Jesus, they followed the Old Testament law. So what do you think? That's an awful lot to pack into Americans United for Israel, but that's what's behind statements like biblical mandate to support the nation of Israel. There's a theology driving this, not just geopolitics. 1-877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Jeff is calling from Philadelphia. Jeff, welcome.
Todd, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's great to hear you guys again.
It's great to be heard.
I know. Well, anyway, I was calling about the dual covenant theology.
Sure.
And I've been involved with Jewish missions for a very long time, and this one never ceases to amaze me from hearing it from the conservative end of the spectrum. I mean, it's talk about getting your law and gospel way messed up. To be honest, in Deuteronomy 18, it doesn't say that you have to believe in the Messiah or the prophet. There will be a prophet. So if you're not believing Jesus, you're in major violation of a very key section of the Torah. So right there, there's no possible way that you could not be in violation of Torah if you don't believe in the Messiah. And honestly, there's actually been some like really interesting Jewish scholarship that's come out that even there's a pretty significant presence of ancient Jewish teaching or older Jewish teaching that said that when the Messiah comes, that the Torah will be abolished, kind of very similar to what's written in Hebrew, in the letter to the Hebrews.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, you should look up The Limits of Orthodox Theology by Mark Shapiro.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jeff, and thanks for listening in Philadelphia. Not only are the followers of Christian Zionism running afoul of a simple, plain reading of the Old Testament text, they're running afoul of the way that Jesus read the Old Testament. Think about the times when Jesus talked to his fellow Jews, be they his opponents or otherwise, and he talks to them about the Old Testament patriarchs. And he says amazing things like, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. In other words, what Abraham was looking forward to was not the land being finally given to his descendants, which is what the dispensationalists will tell you he was looking forward to. Jesus says he was looking forward to the fulfillment of all those prophecies in Jesus. Jesus says to his opponents, you believe Moses? You should be believing in me, because Moses wrote of me. According to Jesus' reading of the Old Testament, you can't get through the book without bumping into him, Jesus. And the reason he faults his opponents is because they read the old scriptures, the Old Testament, and they believe that the Messiah is supposed to come and do what the dispensationalists say the Messiah was supposed to do, set up a millennial kingdom or an earthly kingdom. Jesus says, you're reading the book all wrong. These are the scriptures that testify of me. If you believed Moses, you would believe me. If you read Moses rightly, you would believe in me. You see, Jesus read the Old Testament as a Christ-centered book, not as an Israel-centered book. Now, you might ask, so what's the story? Is it just a remarkable coincidence that a nation-state called Israel was established in 1948? Well, it's either remarkable coincidence or, as I said before, self-fulfilling prophecy. Would there have been a nation-state of Israel in 1948 were it not for Christian Zionism and the Zionist movement among worldwide Judaism? Probably not. That's exactly what you call it, self-fulfilling prophecy. But the dispensationalists, the Christians, Christians United for Israel, will point to the 1948 establishment of this state over in the Middle East, and they will say, who could argue with our reading of the Bible? There's the state right there. I would submit to you it looks very different, even by their own reading of Scripture. It looks very different, doesn't it, than the Israel that they say is prophesied in the Bible? A place where Christ's name cannot be freely, legally spoken as a Christian witness, especially to Jews? Does that look like the Israel they believe is prophesied in the Old Testament? An Israel hostile? An Israel where Jews go to heaven while not just not knowing of Jesus, but openly rejecting their Messiah? Scott's calling from Salinas, California. Scott, welcome.
Hey, how are you doing? This is Pastor Clems.
Oh, well, it's very nice to hear from you.
It's been a long time, sir.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
It was interesting. We had some friends out a couple weeks ago from Fort Wayne, and they are Conservadox Jews. They are highly practicing in their Jewish tradition. And we were talking about the whole Zionist movement. And in his perspective, and he has studied and has talked about becoming a rabbi, and their view of Christianity was that all of us were Zionists. And I never realized how much this theological perspective, prospectus, had permeated many Jews into really a false understanding of true Christianity.
So they thought that all Christians bought into the Zionist myth?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, you have to understand, this gentleman was raised in a conservadox, which is kind of the conservadox leaning towards orthodoxy, mm-hmm. Jewish tradition. And so his exposure to Christianity was not very strong. And so we were talking. We've been friends for 5 or 6 years, and they were visiting, and he just assumed we all were millennialistic, that we all bought into the whole Zionist theological premise. And it was really interesting because as we got chatting, and I said, you have to realize the majority of Christianity rejects this. Now, we're not saying that Israel can't exist as a nation in that anyone else has a right to exist, but that there is not a theological necessity for Zion, and indeed the new Jerusalem, the new Zion, is in fact Christ's church.
I'm glad you made that point. Thank you very much, Scott, and I hope you're enjoying things out there in California. I can only envy the kind of weather that Pastor Clemens must be enjoying right now. Well, when we come back from this break, we'll deal a little bit with some of those issues that our caller raised. It's Audio Open Lines, 1-877-623-MY-IE, Tuesday, July the 22nd. Email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Never trust a smiling evangelical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back. Pastor David Peterson, Pastor Stephen Schumacher, Jenna Thompson, Aaron Fitzgerald, Anita Wright, Andrew Chuddy, Vicar Leroy LaPlante, Sandra Stuckwish, Marilyn Buskol, and Valerie Shane. Thanks for your support.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A huge controversy is brewing in Canada. The Order of Canada is the nation's highest and most prestigious award given to civilians. It recognizes lifetime contributions, which made a major difference to Canada. This year, the award was given to the nation's most notorious abortionist who owned 6 abortion mills. Ironically, those who chose him noted his so-called work on behalf of healthcare and humanitarian causes. The man kills unborn babies for a living and worked to have taxpayers foot the bill. There's been a huge outcry. Online polls have showed a clear majority oppose the decision. So far, 8 previous recipients of the award have returned them. They don't want to be in the company of an abortionist, and I don't blame them. It's a slap in the face to people who have truly served their nation.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, Audio Open Lines. For about another 25 minutes, then in the second hour of the program, Dr. Jeff Gibbs will be our guest. We'll talk about Mary Magdalene. Church is remembering this woman today. And then Greg Kokel will join us to discuss the new atheists and whether or not they really have reason and science on their side. Scott called before the break, and he had pointed out that in conversation with some Jewish friends of his Jewish friends believed that all Christians were Zionists. Nothing could be further from the truth. Scott is quite right in pointing out the vast majority of Christendom, both historic and today, not only does not hold to the Zionist view, but repudiates the Zionist view as, well, our Lutheran confessions, and we're talking now the 16th century, and those who still hold to them, few though they may be, call such views Jewish myths. That's how they regarded the Zionism of their day. Now, a majority does not truth make, but it is noteworthy that Christian Zionism has very short roots in Christian history, and it is noteworthy as well that a Christ-centered reading of the Bible makes it impossible to be a Zionist. Now, you can support Israel for other reasons, but not for biblical ones. Mike is calling from Orland Hills, Illinois. Thank you for waiting, Mike.
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good. Hey, I just have a quick question for you. I've as far as eschatology goes, I'm a premillennialist. I don't believe in a pre-trib rapture. Well, I'll get to the point, okay? I think you're kind of unfairly characterizing old people who hold to a premillennial eschatology and believe there's a future for Israel. I certainly believe that Jews need Jesus in order to be saved. I don't know where you're getting. I mean, maybe people like John Hagee believe that, you know, Jews don't need Jesus, but, I mean, there will be an end times conversion of the majority of the Jewish nation. They will be through Jesus.
You would not consider yourself a premillennial dispensationalist. You would be a premillennialist.
Well, whatever. I just want to go by what the Bible teaches. I try not to label myself.
Do you believe, we'll just cut right to the chase,
sure.
And thank you for being honest.
Sure.
Do you believe that the nation state of Israel, established in 1948, is not just a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, but also Israel is the sum and substance of biblical prophecy?
Can you redefine that question?
Well,
I just want to make sure I'm understanding.
The old covenants, namely that made to Abraham, is it fulfilled in the 1948 state of Israel, or is it fulfilled in his seed, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world?
I don't know if this answers your question. If we're children of God through Christ, I believe we are of the seed of Abraham. But
That answers you're singing off the same page as St. Paul. Thank you very much for the call. Now, just to clear up something here, when someone says I'm a premillennialist, sometimes that simply means that they believe that there will be an end times kingdom for one reason or another. And the pre is when does a rapture occur? And there are a lot of premillennialists who reject a rapture. And there are many people with end times views that say that there will be an en masse conversion of the Jewish people to Christianity in the end times. I don't happen to share that view 100%. I believe that there will be a conversion. I don't think it will be en masse, but I think there will be a conversion. I think there's enough Bible passages to support that. It will be due to the fact that they hear the gospel, won't it? Of course it will. Now, I'm not trying to tar all premillennialists with this brush. What I'm trying to say is that dispensational view, all you need to do is go to a book called, Things to Come by Dwight D. Pentecost. He's one of the old school dispensationalists, and he still, even though I think he's long dead, it still is one of the quote-unquote textbooks of this end times teaching. And he comes out flat out and he says, the problem with those who reject our dispensational view is that they make the cross the center of Scripture. He faults Christians for making Jesus Christ and his redemptive work the center of Scripture. He says, well, it's certainly important, but it's not the most important thing. Those are scary words. Here's an email from VJ in Simeon, California. They write, the Bible completely rules out a two-track salvation. The Bible clearly says that no one will be saved by the law, Romans 3:20, for by works of the law will no human be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin, another passage, Galatians 2:16, that was rolling around in my head just a moment ago. Yet we know that a person is not yet justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. These Zionists are dead wrong, and should be sharing Christ and the gospel with the Jewish people. I agree. And actually, to give credit where credit is due, the previous caller, Mike, cited again Galatians, that those are children of Abraham who share the faith, not the DNA, the faith of Abraham. You know what that means? Just as Scott said from California a few minutes ago, it means that the new Israel, the new Jerusalem, is in fact Christ and his body, the church. Jesus is Israel reduced to one, and everyone who believes in him is welcomed, grafted in, Romans 11, grafted in to the body of Christ, the new Israel. Caller Rick was on the line. He said, wouldn't the reinstitution of animal sacrifice in a rebuilt temple be an abomination that causes desolation spoken of in Daniel, Matthew, and Mark? I ask because it would be substituting animal sacrifice for our Lord's divine service. Well, it would be an abomination that makes desolation. But I want to be careful with that Daniel passage. We're talking about the weeks of years passage. What the dispensationalist does with that passage is uses it, twists it to try and say that Jesus is going to come back and reinstitute sacrifices in the temple, that the Antichrist will reign in the temple. It's all very complicated. And when it says he will bring an end to sacrifices, they say that that means that he's going to persecute the Jewish people as they're trying to carry out their religion. That passage actually is talking not about the Antichrist, but the Christ. The one who puts an end to sacrifices, the one who becomes himself the sacrifice to end all sacrifices, Jesus. Read it again, not looking for the Antichrist, but the Christ, and the passage will read very differently to you. You see, there's two great readings of Scripture here. More than two, but when it comes to the dispensationalist, you can either read it with Israel as the center of Scripture or Jesus Christ. What I've discovered is when dispensationalists see it in those terms, they realize there's something wrong with their theology.
It lurched, it threw me backwards, and the natural rotation of my hand was into the throttle. And I did a leap off of our platform. I didn't clear the front row, I landed in it.
That is a pastor. This is a very interesting story. I read to you from a Fox News, a very short blurb. Kimono, Indiana, a pastor brought a dirt bike out during the church service to demonstrate the concept of unity. Okay, it's still not making a connection in my brain, but let's just run with the story for a second. It's Jeff Harlow of Crossroads Community Church in Kimono, Indiana. He broke his wrist when he lost control of his motorcycle at the start of Sunday service, during which time he drove off the 5-foot platform into the front row of seats. Now, the pastor was injured, and we certainly do not want to make light of any injury that he may have suffered. His wife said he had this idea that he would bring this bike out on stage and show people how the rider would become one with the bike, and he wanted to demonstrate unity by showing how a rider could become one with a dirt bike. A sermon illustration gone seriously awry. Let's hear more from Pastor Harlow.
It worked well for two services, and it was a great illustration because they become one with the bike. For me, I'm just trying to hang on to it.
Well, it worked well for two services, and it was a great illustration until it wasn't. Now, maybe sitting on a motorbike is a great way of demonstrating unity. I'm one with the bike. But this is the danger of illustrations when they take on a life of their own. Or in this case, when it literally gets away from you. Hey, it worked for two services. How about just telling people about Jesus and what he did for them in his perfect life, death, and resurrection, and away with all of the stupid pastor tricks, away with the illustrations that fail to illustrate and that distract from Jesus Christ. How about that? Just a couple Sundays. Give it a try. It's worked for the church for a long time. Be right back.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, look for the sponsor section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor Brent McGuire, David Dipple, Joel Asbury, Tyler Williams, Pastor James Wolmer, Pastor Andre Schneider, Kathleen Maldry, Pastor John Melms, Pastor Kenneth Eifert, and John Volrath. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in audio open lines. Well, before the break, we heard a little bit from Pastor Jeff Harlow. He broke his wrist when he rode his motorbike off the stage during a sermon illustration. Yeah, I'm not making it up. You can't make this kind of stuff up. I've often said that a movement in the church is on its last legs when it can no longer be parodied. And church growth is certainly that movement right now. It's difficult to parody. I called it stupid pastor tricks. Now, I don't mean stupid pastors, but I mean stupid pastor tricks. Dave Letterman had, stupid pet tricks. Still does. I got an idea. We got 10 minutes. Give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. And if you've seen or heard your pastor or some pastor do a stupid pastor trick in the name of sermon illustration or getting your attention or shaking you up or whatever it is, feel free to nominate. You don't have to use his name. Please don't use his name. But if you've seen a stupid pastor trick recently that's stuck in your mind, call in and nominate it for stupid pastor trick. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Now, Pastor Jeff Harlow, the pastor in question of Crossroads Community Church, says that he has destroyed the DVD of his unscheduled leap off the church's stage.
It would not make America's funniest video. It would make America's dumbest.
All right. At least he admits that there was some humor in all of this. See, this is the problem with stupid pastor tricks. The pastor has a bright idea. Jeff Harlow went to a motorcycle race where he had the idea that it would be great to illustrate to his congregation unity by staying on the bike as he rode it out. And it was a great illustration until he couldn't stay on the bike. And this is one of the dangers. The pastor goes to Six Flags, he goes to Disney World, he goes to a movie, he goes to a rock concert, he goes to the Arboretum. Wherever he goes, he has an experience, and he says, wow, that was really fun and interesting. How can I turn this into a sermon illustration? we play this little bump music that was written especially for our show, Hey Preacher Man, when we do sermon illustrations and sermon reviews. And one of the verses says something like, I don't want to know what you did last week on your summer vacation. Really, the people aren't interested. They want Jesus. Finally, here's Pastor Harlow. He says he'll get over his injuries and his embarrassment.
I have known pastors to do more damage from the platform than what I did. If that's the most damage I ever do, is just ramming a bike into the front row, why, then I can live with that kind of damage.
I wonder what he's talking about. I mean, certainly not literal damage. You know what does damage from the platform or the pulpit, as the case may be? Not just when the sermon illustration gets away from the pastor, but when the pastor forgets what he's up there for. He thinks he's up there to be your life coach. He thinks he's up there to help you be just a little bit better than you already are. He thinks he's up there to give you financial advice, family advice, parenting advice. He thinks he's up there to do anything and everything except deliver Jesus Christ. That's what does damage from the pulpit. Damage like a motorbike could never do. Sometimes eternal damage. Here's Kathy calling from St. Charles.
Hi, yeah. I've seen a couple of things that I thought were kind of strange. When I was a teenager, I was involved in a youth group of a church, and it was a Baptist church, and the youth pastor was going to, and I can't remember the reason why, eat some live goldfish, and he ended up chickening out, and his assistant youth pastor ended up eating the live goldfish as something to get the kids, I think, interested in some sort of summer project that they were doing.
You know, what good does that do if the guy says, I'm going to eat live goldfish, and then at the last minute wimps out and makes his assistant do it?
I don't know. I think the assistant was more willing to do it, I guess.
Doesn't he care about the lost? Doesn't he want to reach the unreached? I mean, come on, a few goldfish.
And the other thing that I've seen is more recently, and it's not a big deal, but it was. I just thought it was so inappropriate and out of place. We went to a meeting for confirmation and to give parent instruction, and one of the pastors was there playing the bongo drums, and I just thought it just seemed out of place. It didn't seem to be very informational. It just seemed to be more entertaining.
The bongo drums.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so she nominates eating live goldfish, which the guy didn't have the guts to do, and playing the bongo drums for some inexplicable reason. Mark in St. Louis emails us with his nomination for stupid pastor tricks. I spent a good 10 years after God brought me back to the faith going from denomination to denomination, writes Mark, from church to church. The silliest illustration I saw was when a pastor was preaching on guard your heart. For the sermon, the pastor brought out a basketball and called two young men up from the congregation, and then he proceeded to try and dribble past the young men while they were attempting to guard a pretend basketball hoop. Then they stopped when one of the young men almost fell off the stage. It prompted me to get up and leave in the middle of the service. I'm wondering, do pastors think we're stupid? Is that what this is about? Do they think that we don't understand ordinary plain language? You know, I can understand doing this with the children. I can understand doing this with the youth. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now even the ordinary sermon has turned into a children's sermon. I tried one children's sermon illustration. It didn't go terribly awry. It just went a little bit awry. And I figured, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stick to plain and simple language. The kind that Jesus used. Jesus never said, let me demonstrate something to you. Peter, go get your surfboard. Go get your motorbike. John, where do you keep the balloon animals. All right, John, you guard the hoop, and I'm going to try and get past you. This will be a great illustration for everybody. It'll kill. Jonathan in Philadelphia has his nomination for stupid pastor tricks. When pastors think that they need to dress up like Old Testament superheroes in order to get their message across, aside from just being plain goofy, it also displays an inner assumption that the word of Christ is not enough. Quote, if we're to really get it, we need to add to it. So some guy with a cheap fake beard and a bathrobe is supposed to make the Almighty God just a little more powerful. Sheesh, says Jonathan. Thank you very much. This email comes from David in Flint, Michigan. I have two sermon illustrations I remember from about 6 years back. The first was a vending machine located near the altar. Oh my goodness, this is not going in a good direction. During the sermon, the pastor pressed the button to get a candy bar and instead received an apple. He used the machine as an illustration of prayer. God, like the machine, gives us what we need, not what we want, thereby reducing God to a vending machine. The second one was the use of a clip from The Lion King where the characters sing Hakuna Matata, you remember. Means no worries for the rest of your life. His illustration was that with God, we have no worries. But the illustration backfired when the children began screaming more for the video of The Lion King. Come on, give us Simba. Enough of this Jesus nonsense. Where's Simba? You know, the cleverer we... Is that a word? The cleverer we try to be, the less relevant, the more distraction we present to those who need and really want only to hear Jesus. You do not find St. Stephen at his stoning, St. Paul in his preaching, St. Peter at Pentecost. You find none of them engaging in hijinks, tricks, gimmicks, or flashy demonstrations. None of them. They just speak the word plain and true. And youth pastors are the worst. Someone mentioned a youth pastor. So whether it's trying to force yourself to swallow live goldfish, playing the bongo drums, playing a pretend game of basketball until one of the kids falls off the stage, riding a motorbike out onto the stage. You know, there are some people who call this courageous ministry. We're being courageous. We're thinking outside the box. I got to ask, what's wrong with the box? What's wrong with the box? We're on the cutting edge of ministry when we do these things. And the world looks in, Fox News looks in, sensible people look in and say, this isn't courage, this isn't cutting edge, this isn't avant-garde, and this is not plain and simple word of God. This is foolishness and not for Christ's sake. There's a big difference between foolishness for Christ's sake, which is the preaching of the cross, Paul reminds us, and just plain foolishness. Second hour of Issues Etc. straight ahead. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.